Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to Hosea. Right after Daniel. And I'm going to try to finish the book of Hosea this morning. I didn't get as far as I wanted to last week, so that means we have even more to do this morning. But I think last week we had a little more introductory material. And so I'm just going to give you a quick outline of the book, and then we'll go through it. And I will comment just short little things along the way to try to help us get the understanding of the whole book. We are trying, I'm trying this summer to give you a very quick survey of the minor prophets. And we started Hosea last week. We noticed that, or I pointed out, that the first three chapters of Hosea are a personal narrative of and a symbolic picture. God used his prophet, and he did this with other prophets, also Isaiah and Jeremiah even, to speak to the people of Israel even just through the lives of his prophets. And then we began to, chapters 4 through 8, or 4 to the end of the book, are more like sermons rather than a narrative. And 4 through 8 seems to have an overriding theme of God's holiness. And because God is holy, we see the people's sin. And then chapters 9 and 10 show us God's justice. And because God is just, we see the people being judged. And then finally, chapters 11 through 14, we see that God's love. And because he's love, there's hope. If they would turn to him, even as far gone as they had gone, he would still receive them if they turned in repentance. One other thing, there's, especially through the summer, there's normally visitors, even people that are not may not be first-time visitors, but as I read, you can see the difference in the scripture between the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, but you can't hear the difference. And since I'm reading out loud and to communicate the difference audibly, I will be using the inappropriate actual translation of the word that's behind it, Jehovah. And since it's a noticeable difference, if I were reading, I'm not using some other version or anything, I'm just trying to portray that difference that's there that you couldn't hear if I just read the Lord, the Lord. So we come then to, and I've got my notes divided by sermon. Sermon number 3 must be somewhere around chapter 4 or 5, Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. And I'll just make sure, is that where it says, come and let us return? Okay. Now the beginning here sounds hopeful, but we'll point out some things as we go. Hosea 6 says, come and let us return unto Jehovah, for he is torn and he will heal us. He is smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know Jehovah, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now this is true. What it says about God is true, and it sounds good. But then God responds and says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud. Okay, as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goes away. So this little statement of theirs was just kind of like all this, it was there, and then it's going to be gone. It's just not thorough, not real inside of them. Therefore, have I hewed them by the prophets? I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goes forth. For, and this is an important verse, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood, and as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defied. Also, O Judah, He has set a harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Then another sermon. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief comes in, and the troop of robbers spoils without, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness. Now the king was an idolater, and so the prophet is saying that the people have followed along, and they make the king glad by being wicked themselves. Okay, and the princes with their lies, they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceases from raising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all the night. In the morning it burns as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calls unto me. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Now the idea there is that a woman would... We saw when we were over there, they'd build a fire and then put a little piece of metal or something over top of something that would get hot, and they'd put the dough on top of that. And then when it was ready, they would turn it over. A careless woman might start the cake and then get busy and forgetful and not worry about anything, and then it would burn on the one side and not be turned over because she was careless. And this is kind of the idea, the picture here. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim is careless. They don't care about the things of God. They're not concerned about the things of God. If we read the continue, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knows not. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, and they do not return to Jehovah their God, nor seek him for all this. What God is saying here is that there are things showing up that they should see. If they cared, they would see it. But Israel doesn't care. And all the judgments of God, whether it be prophets or calamities or whatever that God sends to a people, he gives it to them to call them back to himself, for them to respond to. And yet Israel doesn't even notice that he's doing this. He's careless. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. He's going to catch them and not allow them to go. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation has heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet have they spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I bound and strengthen their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. A deceitful bow, the word I think you're going to, is more like a crooked bow. It's not true. It's not true and straight. It's deceitful or crooked. So you shoot it and it does what? It misses the mark. Aren't we all as deceitful bows? We all miss the mark. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. They're like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. And the next sermon, set the trumpet to thy mouth. That's an interesting command to the man of God. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of Jehovah, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. That's God is going to come against his own house. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. The calf was the god that Jeroboam had set up. So it said, thy calf is that the calf of Bethel and Dan that had been set up. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stalk, but the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. And this kind of says, they sowed the wind, they're going to reap a whirlwind. Nothing. Whatever they do, it has no stalk, the bud yields no meal. If it does yield, strangers shall swallow it. All their efforts are to no avail. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass, alone by himself. Ephraim has hired lovers. This is the opposite. Normally, lovers would hire you, but Ephraim is so polluted, so far away from God that she pays to serve idols. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim has made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. God uses the thing that we go for to go toward to judge us. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but Jehovah accepts them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and builds temples. And Judah has multiplied fenced cities. Now both have forgotten their maker. Israel forgets his maker and goes to idolatry. Judah forgets his maker and depends on military strength, builds fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Now I see that God is just in chapters 9 and 10. The overriding theme, we'll see other things, but Sermon 6. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. That's because it's not going to be there. They shall not dwell in Jehovah's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They're going to be away from their land, and they're going to have to just eat. In order to survive, they're going to have to eat things that are unclean in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to Jehovah, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of Jehovah. What will you do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of Jehovah? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them. When they die, Egypt shall gather them up, because they'll be in Egypt. Memphis, a large city in Egypt, shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them, and thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The place where they lived, the place where they kept their good things, is just going to be overrun by wildlife, nettles and thorns. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Their prophets were fools and spiritual men crazy because they were not, these are false prophets and false spiritual men. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in his ways and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Now, Gibeah comes up a few times. Just point out that this is referring to the story toward the end of the book of Judges, where they were very, I can't remember that, I don't have time to not remember. they had the teraphim, and then they, I don't know. It's just a real gruesome, awful account of idolatry and bad things. But that was Gibeon. So this is referring to that terrible time. They've deeply corrupted themselves as they did in those days. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree in her time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Jehovah, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Then the next sermon. Israel is an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. They get blessings and they have good things, but they just increase false gods and false altars. Their heart is divided. Now, that's a pretty big problem. We see that theme throughout the scripture. A double-minded man. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not Jehovah. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springs up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth Avon. That's the same false worship that they had. Beth Avon is like a mock name for Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. Beth Avon is the house of emptiness and vanity, but it's referring to the same place. It's like a satirical term. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsels. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loves to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Jehovah till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Seems like there's hope there, but what did they do? Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled as Shalman or Salmaneser, spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. And now we move into the last kind of theme, and that is that God is love. And so we see God's love and Israel's response somewhat through these next chapters. Sermon 8. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. But they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. See, God is the one that was taking care of them all the way along, and yet they worshipped idols and graven images. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them, because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? These are two cities that were destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah in the five cities of the plain. So they were just destroyed, annihilated. My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after Jehovah. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith Jehovah. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet rules with God and is faithful with the saints. There's some, we don't have time to go into all the details of this, but there's evidence in these prophecies that they're given over different amounts of time. Because in one chapter, Judah is still being faithful to God, and the next chapter, Judah is lumped in and being... So there's things are changing in the country of Judah between some of these sermons. So I just point out that seems to be, you're going to see other things. You think, well, before Judah is with God and now Judah isn't with God, well, things change in a country. And so most of Hosea's prophecies are toward Israel, but they're also to Judah. In the next sermon here, Ephraim feeds on wind and follows after the east wind, which is very empty. It's like, have anybody ever eaten wind? Okay. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt as payment for some type of security. Jehovah has also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother, a little history here, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. Isn't that interesting? Bethel is the point of so much of their idolatry and problems, and Hosea brings them back and says, no, Bethel, that was where Jacob found the true God, and there he spoke with us. Even Jehovah, God of hosts, Jehovah is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He begins speaking about them again. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich, and have found me out substance. Okay, he's become rich. He's claiming the blessings of God. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me. Now, God had already said balances of deceit are in his hand, but he is so smooth and so slick that nobody can find iniquity in him that was a sin. And I that am Jehovah, thy God, from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. God tries to speak to his people in so many different ways, whether it's preaching, visions, which would be, and similitudes, signs all around us. God speaks to us through everything around us. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the field. If a person were to clean his field out and get the rocks out of the way and put them at the end of the furrow, okay, you go down, see a farm field, and they've at the end of each row, and those they would have a pile of rocks. And the point is, just as many piles of rocks, it's like each one of those piles of rocks is an altar to an idol. That's how given over to idolatry they are. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet, Jehovah brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Or was he preserved? Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Then the next one. When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Ephraim turned away from God with the calves. But this is understood to mean that when Ahab came along and went further, not just their own calves that were supposedly substitutes for God, but took them to Baal and the terrible worship that Jezebel brought in, he died, or it was the end. There was no coming back from there. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away, as the shaft that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor and as smoke out of the chimney. There's not much to those things. They just disappear. They're going to be gone. Yet I am Jehovah thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. That's a danger. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Isn't that a wonderful statement? We see again and again God's love for his people. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of Jehovah shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry. And his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. And then we come to the last chapter, and it's almost like a summary of everything that Hosea's life portrayed to them, and the sermons that he gave, and the hope that God had toward them, the love that he had for them. And we get this kind of a summary. Some people have called it an epilogue type of a saying, chapter. O Israel, return unto Jehovah thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Now these words signify true repentance, because we see what they say. They're not something that's just words, but words of true repentance. And turn to Jehovah. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We have to recognize all of our iniquity, that we're full of iniquity, and recognize that we can only be received by grace. There's nothing of merit in our own lives. Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips, or the words of our lips, the thanksgiving of our lips. Asher or Assyria shall not save us. We're not going to look to another place for help. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless finds mercy. God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. There's four different ways that he describes the growth and flourishing of his people there, because one is not enough. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them? For the ways of Jehovah are right. That's something to remember. All the judgment that he gave them, all that we see, Israel dispersed, destroyed, and all that. And God worked through all those things in his people's lives and his nation, and his ways are right. We don't question that. His ways are right. And the just shall walk in them. It's not exactly the same phrase, but in the Old Testament a couple times, in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith, the just shall walk in the ways of Jehovah, but the transgressors shall fall therein. I think this is interesting or important just to point out as we finish this book. We see God's love, God's unfailing